With markets changing and living costs rising, finding a reliable place to grow your money matters now more than ever. With the Wealthfront Cash Account, your uninvested money earns a 3.75% APY, which is higher than the average savings rate. There are no account fees or minimums, and you also get free instant withdrawals to eligible accounts 24/7, so you always have access to your money when you need it. And when you're ready to invest, you can transfer your cash to one of Wealthfront's expert-built portfolios in just minutes. More than 1 million people already use Wealthfront to save and build long-term wealth with confidence. Get started today at Wealthfront.com. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Wealthfront Brokerage is not a bank. Annual percentage yield on deposits as of September 26, 2025 is representative, subject to change, and requires no minimum. The cash account is not a bank account. Funds are swept to program banks where they earn the variable APY.
We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again!
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely this game gets really fucking weird. So you do acid and then you go into the hamster suit.
And this week is...
Night Trap! They're right behind you, Night Trap!
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God.
It's just... Yellow! Are you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Are you there?
Are they there?
Hello,
are
they there?
People, are you there? Listening? People, please tell us if you're listening.
Yeah, like, say out loud right now, we can hear you, I promise.
Yeah.
I'm not an asshole. Fuck you. No, fuck you. Fuck you. What's your name? Ezekiel. Fuck you, Ezekiel. I love that little thing.
I love that one so much.
So funny. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Scott.
And I am Steven.
And we are Soul of a Gamer podcast. Every week we play a game, we tell you about the game, we tell you about the background of the making of the game, and we have fun doing it.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do all that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. We haven't done a game in a while because we're just taking some time, you know, playing these games a little bit more thoroughly, and we're doing these hot take episodes, trying to see what kind of things stick with you guys.
For sure. We hope you enjoyed our last game, whatever the hell that was. I think it was a Hat in Time,
yeah.
And so this game is...
Space Marine 2, Warhammer 40K, whatever fucking giant-ass title.
I know, like, we gotta get the Warhammer brand in there. You know what's funny is they could have probably filled this game in with literally anything, and it probably would have worked, you know what I mean?
I mean, probably, but...
This, you know what
I mean, this
want
whole franchise
see?
Has way more games than I'd ever expected to. Like this
I'm not surprised because it's just
I'm not surprised, but I mean like this has way more games than D&D. Like I wouldn't think this is more popular than Dungeons and Dragons, but
well,
apparently
it's
like
an easier concept to throw out, right?
Cause true.
I bet a lot of those games are real time strategy rather than like first person, second person.
There's a lot of first person, third person. There's real time strategy. There's a lot of different styles.
But the RTS
too.
Element is the way that Warhammer is played, essentially.
True.
So it's really easy to move that into a video game atmosphere, and even, you know, creating first person and third person shooters are easier than creating like entire world built RPGs.
Yes. For anyone who doesn't know, this is a tabletop game first, and this is a tabletop game that I have played one time because my friend Trevor got me to play it with him, and I picked
it
a
is
group
the most confusing
because I thought the figurines were cool, and then I couldn't figure out anything. I got stomped, and I never played again. This is the most confusing, most lore-driven, giant-ass complex story that has Kingdom Hearts running for the hills with how giant this story is.
Oh, my God. And there's, like, thousands of books or something on this.
There's so
like
much lore and
guys,
so much shit.
It is literally fucking crazy.
And the thing that sucks is I've heard that so many of the books and shit are incredible. Like, even... A lot of people who like dive into it, but like it's just something
it's
like
dive.
You have to fully go into.
Yeah, it's definitely a deep dive series. You can't just like skim the surface and expect to be successful. I will say, you chose the guy he chose to play with
is just a complete asshole when it comes to like being really good at things. And what I mean is he really jumps in when he likes something. He goes 190% into that thing. There's no middle ground for him. So having him trying to teach you something is a really bad idea because he is so into it. He wants to show you how good he is at it. So
at times, times it's okay. In things like Warhammer, it's not.
I was going to say Warhammer.
Things like Warhammer and things like Magic, it's not a great way to learn it. But things like Diablo or something like that, or like something easier to get into, things that are easier to get into, it's okay to be a little bit more of that mindset. But things that are like really hard and complex and takes years of dedication to, he just dives in and wants you to have the same knowledge and
the same skill passion.
And the same passion that you have. And unfortunately, it doesn't work out most of the time.
My recommendation, if you guys want to get into Warhammer for real, find a noob group. There's plenty of them out there who are like, I want to try this for the first time. And then you guys can read the rules together.
They do Warhammer there.
All of them. Literally. All of them do it. They all have fucking little stages for it. Even the one in my tiny town, we have this tiny fucking little area. It's got like a... God, I'd say it's a bathroom-sized room where they do Warhammer in there. It's the tiniest room in the world. And they're sitting in there, sweaty, disgusting, smelly, doing the fucking Warhammer.
But they're happier than they've ever been.
Yeah, they are. They are happier than I will ever be in my life. They're happier than I was on my wedding day. Like, you could just see it on their faces. They are glowing. It is insane.
And I was there. Scott was pretty happy. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I know that face doesn't always scream happiness, but
I'm just telling you, like, it is. People love this game to death. Okay,
they really do.
When we butcher this, they are going to be so mad at us. Oh, they're going to be so mad.
Henry Cavill,
Warhammer's dumb.
Henry Cavill, we love you. We support you. Don't hate us for belittling and butchering your favorite game series.
Oh, that his is Witcher. I thought.
No.
Oh, he likes Warhammer too?
It's Warhammer way more than Witcher, but he loves the Witcher it's right underneath it, but Warhammer is his main
passion
shtick.
Is just as much, but his knowledge source probably goes more towards
I think he almost
Warhammer.
Didn't make his audition for The Witcher because he was playing Warhammer.
Oh, that's cool. That's so cool. I would love Warhammer's just so expensive too, guys, so if you get into it, just be ready to spend like $5
up
front.
It's because you're going to want to buy all the figures. You're going to want to have multiple
figures,
teams,
I guess.
And you're going to want to paint them yourselves, because that is a thing that almost every true Warhammer fan does, is they paint their own figurines.
Oh, I would hate that. I fucking hate little micro things.
Dude,
like
I'm telling you, like, my everyone I know who's gotten into Warhammer fully and buys the figurines, all of them paint their own shit.
Yeah, all of them. I'm not surprised. I would just 3D print them and then put like a giant X on all of them and be like,
well, and some are doing more 3D printing with it, which is really cool. But even with the 3D printing, a lot of people are painting them after the 3D printed.
Yeah. I would recommend 3D printing them because it'll be cheaper than buying the figurines. All right. Well, let's get right into what we're playing this week. Steven, what are you playing this week?
I am playing a really fun new Game Pass game, actually. It's called South of Midnight. It's kind of like an action adventure, pseudo platforming.
But it's, when you say action adventure, honestly, I just assume there's some platforming in there now.
That's fair. I would say it's along the same lines as like a Spyro game, something like that. But it takes place in like the South, I think in Louisiana. It's just after a hurricane.
It's the smell.
Well, they actually talk about the smell quite a bit in the game.
Oh my god. Have you ever been to Louisiana?
Yes, I have.
It's a complete fucking shithole. Sorry, people who live there, but your state's a shithole.
Well, I mean, especially after something like a hurricane.
Well, at least that cleaned it up a little bit.
No, but it's this really cool, like, Southern lore thing. It's got all the stuff about, the whole like kind of voodoo magic kind of thing. It's got things about like weavers and healers. It's got things about like the torment of the town turning into these wild creatures that only these weavers can see. It's such a unique style and premise. And some of the action and stuff is actually done in claymation. So a lot of the character animations and your main character is actually claymation animated. So when you're moving, you get that like claymation feel to her. It's super dope. Like the art style is so amazing. And the music is fantastic.
This is definitely like a easier game, which I see a lot of people complaining about how like the difficulty of the game isn't hard, or like the combat's not hard, or it doesn't have as much like, and I'm like, not every game's going to be Elden Ring.
Yes, it like is.
We can't expect every game to have the most impressive combat ever. And this game is more heavily on its story than it does its combat. I mean, the combat's there, but the combat's also very unique, and it has a lot of different things. And every video I see people complaining about it, use two moves or three moves when there's like eight you can do. So it's just like, you're going to use what's the best and the easiest and the fastest to kill the things, but then that doesn't make your gameplay better.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is I was just having a conversation with someone about how I think, you know, we've had this conversation before, where essentially video games are dying because our expectations for them are so incredibly high.
Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, we all want something to be brand new. We all, the tried and true aspect of games is fine. If you want to make a first person shooter that's like every other first person shooter, that is perfectly okay with me.
Yeah.
I'd love to see another Halo today, and there's really nothing like Halo coming out anymore because people don't want to do that.
Well, here's my problem too with a lot of complaints about like today's games and stuff like that. People so much in movies and in TV are shitting on everything that's a remake or a sequel or a prequel to an already existing franchise or something to do with that. And but then also like any game that's new and comes out with something new and inventive gets shit on because it's not the next Elden Ring, or gets shit on because it's not Call of Duty, or gets shit on because the gunplay doesn't work as well as Far Cry's does. Like, it gets, we're dumbing down a lot of games because it's not this other game. Yeah. Whereas like, you're not taking this game for what it is.
You know, my thing too, like when we play games, we will judge that game based on how we feel it did, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes that's hard to do when I'm like researching the story behind the game. Cause I'm like, man, these guys put a lot of effort into this game and it still turned out like shit.
And I mean, that's fair.
Like, and maybe that's something we all need to look at when we listen to this podcast. We can hear about the people who are putting their hearts and souls into these games. And then you can really appreciate, like, yes, it was a bad game, but man, those guys worked really fucking hard to create it.
Well, and there's literally nothing on the planet that everyone loves. So if someone's not going to love something, like us even saying that we don't like something doesn't diminish it at all. Yeah. It's just saying that we didn't enjoy it.
You got to imagine, like, with Steven as a good example here, he does not like Knights of the Old Republic. He likes it a little bit now, but at the beginning, when I told him about it, he's like, that game's bullshit because it doesn't meet my expectations of what I think a game with Jedi should be like, which is fine.
Yeah.
But the world disagrees with him because it's one of the highest rated games of all time. But he doesn't have to like it just because it's highest rated. Like, it really, it's on a person-to-person basis. If that's not your game style, you're not going to like it. It's well, just and that simple.
That was the thing. Like, this, that game was really hard for me to get into, and I'm glad Scott did make me play it for the podcast because I did get into it, and I do really appreciate
it. That was
for
the old podcast, guys. We will replay that, I think, or maybe even play the second one because they're essentially the same.
Yes. Well, and the remake's still coming out. It got re-announced again. So
It re-announced for the fifth time. For the last 10 years.
I'm just holding that hope.
I'm not holding my breath on that one.
I'm not either, but I gotta say it. I gotta have it. Throw it out in the universe. Yeah. It's good vibes and shit. But
I hope it comes out. I hope they bring it out on Steam because I'm gonna get pissed off if it's only on fucking Sony. I know they keep saying it's gonna be, but that would be the dumbest thing they could do.
For sure. No, but I mean, like, games like that, like, I'm glad I gave it a try, and I really did love it and appreciate it afterwards, but that was a thing that, like, that's just not my style of gameplay. Like, we talk about with, like, platformers. I can't really judge a platformer, like, especially, like, a really difficult platformer like Celeste or Hollow Knight, because I hate platformers, and I suck at platformers so much, so me saying I hate those doesn't mean as much, because I inherently just suck at those games. Like,
And he doesn't hate all of them, though, because remember, we like Ori. It Takes Two a lot.
Yeah, It Takes Two and Ori.
And both are just essentially platformers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I think our expectations for games have become so incredibly high that we can't appreciate the game for what it is. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But you do not have to go and completely fucking blast it on the internet nonstop, guys. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to like something, and it doesn't mean it's bad.
Have your criticisms about the game itself. Don't compare it to another game, because it wasn't trying to be Far Cry. It wasn't trying to be the next Souls-like, especially a game like this. Like, this wasn't meant to be a Souls-like. Just because that was a boss fight or two doesn't mean it's meant to be on the same caliber of boss levels.
Elden Ring or die, bitch.
That's how I feel some people are nowadays, dude.
Yep.
It gets so ridiculous. I'm like, dude, like, no, this game.
People don't like trying new games.
Yeah, this game is so unique. It's so different. It's got a totally different vibe. It's got a really nice love for Black culture. It's got a really just awesome aesthetic
to
it.
The worst state in the United States.
I don't think it's Louisiana. I don't know for sure.
I would just say that area. Are they Bayou people?
Some of them are, have that twang, probably Louisiana.
Even if they don't say it, the Bayou is like a big thing. People don't even know how people talk out there. If you go out there and try to have a conversation with them, you have no idea what language they're speaking.
There's a giant catfish that kind of has a Bayou twang to it.
Yeah. I would not doubt that it's Louisiana then, or at least Louisiana inspired.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely just like that culture. So it just reminded me of when I was down there a lot. It's got a lot of those really cool vibes, and it's very unique. Like I said, the art style is almost like very. It's called South of Midnight.
South of Midnight.
The design aesthetic is almost very American McGee's Alice Returns.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like that, but like claymation. So it's very unique, but also like very bright and colorful and like
bright and colorful, but dark and like
Source material of some of this, like when you're unraveling, like why this person like. Hates themselves and like getting into their traumas, and you have to like bottle up all their past traumas. You get to watch like scenes of what happened to them or what happened in the past, and like most everyone in this town is connected with murder of some kind.
That sounds like Louisiana to me. We lost all of our one Louisiana listener, I feel like, right now.
Yeah, we did.
All right, well, that sounds like a cool game.
It's very unique, yeah.
I'm not playing too much right now. My wife and I are getting through Grounded, which has been a lot of fun. We're having so much fun playing that game. It's such a cool fucking game.
Dude, honestly, like that was one of the funnest times Jen and I had playing a game together. We've done it three times, but I'm definitely going to go back to it every once in a while.
I kind of want to do it alone at some point just to see how it goes, like playing by yourself. It seems like it'd be really hard.
Dude, there's some people out there that do this shit like New Game Plus 10, level 1, no hit, the fucking last boss. Like, I don't know how far you've gotten into the bosses yet, but man, the bosses are so hard. And that's not even like...
I don't think we fought a boss yet. That's the thing. Like, I don't know what a boss entails. We've done 3 labs. We've done the gas lab. We've done the... Like, there was a ladybug in the gas lab, but I barely consider that a boss because I killed it by myself.
In the hedge is the first boss.
We did
boss.
The hedge.
You didn't get to the boss area then.
No, probably there's not.
So up in the trees, you have to climb up
Is
the trees.
Is there a weird spider web thing?
There's a giant spider web in the wall.
I kept saying I wanted to go in there, and then I didn't because then we got sidetracked. Okay, we'll go back.
So there's no spiders in that area, but you go in there, and it shows there's like a little boss platform, and it gives you a recipe of what food you need to make to bring back to lure the boss into the boss arena.
Okay, see, I was curious, because I just got a recipe for the ant queen, and I haven't found the red ant queen yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, the red ant queen is very deep in the bottom of the ant hill. All the ant queens are.
God. I hate going into the ant hill. There's just so many fucking soldier ants killing me all the time. But I have new weapons, so... Well, the soldier ants attack you either way, I thought.
Nope, if you're wearing full ant armor, they don't touch you.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'll go down there next then. I have a lot of plans to do, and we still have to go into the Black Ant Hill, and I just went into the sandbox, and I've been like soloing all those things in the sandbox, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh, dude, no, seriously, there's so much shit in that game that's just incredible. Yeah, the ant lions, those things are ridiculous. Yeah.
Guys, if you have not played Grounded, I would highly recommend getting a friend and playing Grounded. It is so much fucking fun. It's Minecraft 2.0.
But it's like I was telling Scott like a couple of weeks ago, I really like Grounded almost more than Minecraft sometimes because of how limited the nature of it is. You're in a single backyard. There's only a certain size map. And I mean, the map feels huge still. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, there's no like super big digging. There's no like exploration into the sky. Mm-hmm. You can't just keep building up. It's really fucking interesting, guys.
Oh yeah, really, really amazing shit. And right, the best Honey I Shrunk the Kids kind of feel ever.
That's the best part. Yes. I wish Rick Moranis would make a little cameo.
I know, dude. It'd be so cool.
I know he's not going to, but
all right. So really let's get into the game then.
Yep, let's start this out, guys. I'm a fair warning here. There is literally no information in the world on how this game was made.
I spent 3 hours researching. I'm like, okay, well, that said the same thing. Well, that said the same thing. Well, that said the same. They all essentially just say, this is Space Marine 2.
Next time, I want you to be the judge to get a subpoena, to get all the records so that you can see how it was made and then do more research, okay?
You know what I have to start doing? I have to start reaching out to the companies more. Like, I've tried this a couple times so far, and they haven't gotten back to me. But I like it, and it's really like made me not want to do it because
well, get back we needed like, a bigger audience, and then they'll start listening to us a little bit more.
Well, no, I think they would still like yeah, get I think back they would to me. Too. Some of them would, but this I'll start emailing them every week just to get a little bit more information on it. The problem is like the times I've tried it too are during our foreign episodes where like there wasn't a lot of information, so I try to contact like the Pokemon Coliseum people, and their studio is pretty much dead, and they don't and they're Japanese and don't read English very well. So
I mean, when we're reaching out, especially to a lot of these older games, it's way harder than it is for the newer games, for sure.
For sure. All right. Well, the story of Space Marine 2 once again follows Lieutenant Titus, who previously captain, who must now embark on another campaign to stop Tyranid forces. The third-person shooter game will have you fight through hordes of enemies.
Dum dum do.
So here's my tiny, tiny thing. The game was has almost no information on the making of it. The three things I read were it was made by Saber Entertainment. Saber Entertainment, by the way, I don't know if I put this in here, but they made World War Z, which I played a little bit of, which was fun.
They made something also else too. Yeah, I made an Alien Firestorm or whatever
that one
was.
Yeah, I remember that there was one more game. If I said it out loud, you'd be like, "Oh, they made that," and I can't remember what it is. But they made one more big game.
Yeah.
It was made using the same idea as Saber's previous game, World War Z. And the scariest and most promising thing about the brand is that there are millions of people who follow it. You don't understand how many times I said that during their interviews. Well, you know what? The best thing about this brand is we have millions of people who are going to play it. The worst thing about it is there's millions of people who are going to play it. And I'm like, God damn, can you guys say something else? One other fucking thing on this earth, say something?
I mean, when you have so like a dedicated fan base of like, it's probably honestly a solid million people that touch everything you do. Like it's so ridiculous.
The game stars Clive Standen as Titus, Arthur Lee as Gadriel, Miles Yakini as Kayron, Alistair Petrie as Imura, Adam McNamara as, I don't know how to say it, Acheron?
Okay.
Stuart Scudamore as Kalgar, and many others. The game came out September 9th, 2024, to favorable reviews.
Yes, it was up for
the game
of the year.
The game is a solid like 6.5 out of 10 on most review sites that I saw, too. So it's not like amazing, but the people who do like it a lot.
Yes, I will say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely right. For sure. Getting to our
Let's get bitten to the best and the worst.
Yeah. Best part
of the best moments. What was it?
It's just when you just walking around feeling like a fucking tank, honestly. It's very, and I said the same thing in the RoboCop game. I just love that feeling. You'll get that feeling in a ton of video games, especially recently, where you just feel like you can fuck up anything and you're not gonna die. There is something to be said of like giant hordes of enemies coming at you and just being able to just stand your place. That just feels kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the best things for me, honestly, the jump apparatus that you get by mission two, that was fucking sweet. I was like, oh man, you can jump super high. Also the scenery in the background. Holy shit. Is it beautiful?
Dude, the visuals of this game are stunning.
They are. It's really, but that leads me to one of my worst too is, the maps are extremely limited.
Yeah.
So you reach the edge of a map extremely quickly. Like you can't, it's not like other games where essentially you get a little bit of leeway onto a hill and you can't go up the hill because it's too steep. Like there's literally a wall before the hill that prevents you from
It feels like a very early 2000s Xbox game or something in that style because it's very linear. You're staying on one track. You're taking that one track to the
entire time.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But like other linear games were able to kind of seamlessly transition those walls in, you know what I mean?
Like even comparing it to RoboCop, that one had more open levels that was still really linear,
and
but like they
you could
had
still like explore. See the physical wall, you know what I mean? Like I would, if I were them, I would have put into a physical wall barrier that you can see that made sense of why you can't go past it.
True.
You know, but because I get it, it's like an open jungle and they don't want you exploring into the jungle area, I guess. Put a little wall there. It just made the game feel a little limited on exploration. Which is kind of appreciative too, because at the same time, then you're not looking for shit all over the place. So
in a game world that we have right now, this is drenched in open worlds and exploration and 300 hours. Sometimes I like a little night.
And I agree. It's not like I want them to expand too much. I just want them to put a physical aspect of why we can't get to this next spot. You know what I mean?
You want it to be more immersive so you don't feel like it's taking you out of the game hitting these unseen walls.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And if they just had done that, I would have been perfectly fine with how small the maps were. I don't really care how big the map is. I just don't want to hit an invisible wall where I know I absolutely. It's like when you have to chainsaw something, they put like a tiny wall that your character can step over, essentially. Yeah. Yeah. Or like very quickly climb over, and you have to chainsaw it down. I'm like, why would I have to waste my energy doing that? It looks like I can just jump right over this fucking thing.
You're not wrong. No, that's a good point.
Especially with the game breaking immersion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that was another thing about this game, too. The weapons. I really enjoyed the weapons, but they did kind of all scream the same weapon to me. Like
a little bit. Like there was only like a couple that really made a difference to me. And then I would say like the best things for me were either the finishers or
they were cool.
Well, the finishers are dope.
and it was cool that you got shield back when you did them. Like, honestly, that was a really smart thing for them to do.
It was very Doom in that aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other thing for me was catching the enemies. Like, when an enemy would jump at you and you'd, like, catch him, choke him midair, and slam him to the ground.
And then that would hit the, like, enemies who were now around you from doing that move. Like,
yes.
They did a really good job with that. And on the weapons, again, one of the things that I think would have made this game a lot better if they just put in an auto pickup for ammo.
True.
It was kind of annoying, like you'd have to just pick up the ammo yourself, which is fine, I guess, but in some cases I'm like, god damn it, I just don't want to fucking have to keep pushing. And it's not like it's like a push to pick up, it's literally you have to hold the button to pick up stuff.
That's
and
fair.
That was really fucking stupid. I really hate a lot of press and holds in games. I understand it's getting annoying now, it really is because it just also takes too long.
Like in a game, like you're trying to cut a bunch of things, you're trying to make this feel tight and linear, but why do I have to spend 10 seconds every time I want to pick something up?
Yeah, exactly.
And I know that might be an exaggeration. It's probably only 3 seconds or 2 seconds, but still, like, it should be instantaneous. Like, it doesn't take that long to just reach out and pick it up.
Yeah. And I'll give you this comparison. When Halo did this, when they decided to do the pickup system, they did make you hold, but it was for a much shorter time. And they auto picked up ammo. So I think something should change in games. I think that's perfect the way it is. I don't think you ever have to change that. Just keep it the same all throughout.
Especially
no
when
one's ever going to complain and say like, oh, I hate that I can auto pick up ammo.
Seriously,
it takes me out of the game too much. Like, no one's going to complain about that, guys.
Yeah, I don't think anyone will ever complain about auto pickup for ammo.
No, it's awesome.
Or like, anything. Honestly, we should all, every game should have a little bit of a magnet.
Yeah,
like a 3 meter magnet that just picks up everything in that radius, whether that's currency, money, experience that drops, anything. In all games, a 3 meter vacuum. And then certain games you can upgrade it if you want, just to be more fun, like Ratchet and Clank. They always do that where you can make your radius like huge.
Yeah, bigger. Yeah, most games do like that radius thing and make it bigger later on. But yeah, just the weapon system of pickup in this game was kind of annoying. And again, just like even... Like, you'd get on an elevator in this game, and you'd say, hey, assemble on the elevator, and then you'd have to push the button to make the elevator go up, which I guess is fine.
I mean, every game makes you hit the button on the elevator.
But this one makes you hold it for 3.5 seconds, and I'm like, guys, just make it push. Just do the push. You don't, no one cares about holding this. Like, why do you want it to be so like long for us to have interactions?
I don't know. Like, honestly.
And it sounds like I'm complaining about 3.5 seconds, but multiply that by 50 million times because that's how often you have to hold to do shit. Like, it happens
every time.
And even if you want to do the hold thing, just make it quicker. I don't know. Why the fuck is it so long? Just make it a little quicker. But that was one thing during playing this game. It felt so sluggish doing shit. Like, it did. That's fair. Felt, because, you know, the character's slow. It's a big muscle bound character.
It's a giant dude wearing armor that could take on
so
a tank.
So that's fine, but then you add into the fact that you're holding down buttons for literally every interaction you have. Like, but the only thing you don't have to do that with is with fucking finishers. I'm like, well, there you go. That's your solution. Take the finisher code and just move it to everything else.
Yeah, fair point.
I don't know. It's just it's one of those things in a lot of games I get annoyed about where I'm like, you know, when you have to open a door and you have to smash a button to do it, I'm like, why the fuck do I have to smash this? Like, there's no recourse for me not opening the door, so why the fuck am I smashing a button to do it?
Yeah.
And if you're going to make someone do that, add like a bad thing that happens if you don't.
Or
otherwise,
you know,
there's no point.
If there's like a door and I have to cut down the door with an axe, don't make me hit it like. And then do a voice line and then hit it and then do a voice line, then hit it.
Door is really strong.
And then hit it again.
Oh, God.
Like, just cut to a cutscene that shows him hitting the door four times and struggling to cut it down. Like, I don't need to do that myself. Like,
yeah, gameplay to me is far more important than the cinematics will ever be. You know, that's the reason sometimes I just get really frustrated with JRPGs is the cinematics are so fucking long. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm watching a movie while I'm trying to play.
The number one reason I have not really gotten into some of the Final Fantasies, some of the Metal Gear Solids,
God,
Death Stranding.
So fucking long.
I mean, some of those, like, when you have cutscenes that are half an hour long.
Yeah, you're an asshole. You're a fucking asshole is what you are.
I wouldn't say that because, I mean.
No, you're an asshole. 100%.
You have to know what you're getting into with those games, and those games are for fans of that. It's kind of like what we were saying. Like, the game Quantum Break literally has a TV show episode in the middle of every 2-hour section. And it has a full TV series throughout the entire game.
And that's fine, knowing that
it's fine and you can just watch it knowing that every 2 hours you have to take a half hour break to watch an episode of a TV show. But
like, to me, like, that stuff is cool if it's optional. The minute it becomes mandatory, that's when I'm like, guys, come on.
I do agree
that play the fucking game and then let them decide if they want to do the extra shit after.
I was actually saying this because I was replaying the Spider-Man games on the PlayStation 5 because I got the PS5 versions, want to get platinums on all of them.
Yeah.
Some of the cutscenes aren't skippable, and I was really mad that I have to redo everything and have to do all the first missions in order, especially on a new game plus. Like, any new game plus, especially, but needs to have. And I'm saying, I don't care. I wish all of them did, but at least if new game pluses, make every cutscene skippable.
Or just skip them all in general.
Or just don't show them. Yeah, just literally
ask a question right before. Would you like to watch the cutscene?
Yeah, and then if you just give me the game without any cutscenes, that'd be remarkable. I don't care if I have to have loading screens. I just don't want to see these cutscenes every time again. Because watching those cutscenes over and over again sometimes is so annoying.
I know we kind of got off track, but all this kind of plays in the same mindset. We want to play the game. We don't want to be interrupted from playing by like mindless things like that. Like the picking up items, watching a 20-minute cutscene, smashing down a door that takes too long to smash. Like, we don't want to have those intervals unless the game is about that. Like, and in this game, I don't think it's about picking up ammo. So I think the fact that they made so many things just take so much time to do outside of any reason at all, it was just silly. I think this game could have done really well by adding more instant action buttons instead of the hold on buttons.
That's fair. All right, you want to get into our next section of the game?
Yeah, sorry to anyone who really enjoys holding fucking buttons down, but you're a fucking dickhole.
They can hold it down all they want to.
Yeah,
you can
do
just
that on
also
your own fucking time.
Work with an instant press.
Yeah. Or
you should make it an
option.
Yeah.
I just think it's silly. I don't think anyone is arguing for holding
buttons. I don't think anyone is either.
If they are, they're fucking weird. And we don't want to know those people.
Okay. What was your review of the first few hours? I'm sure it's glowing.
Honestly, the first few hours are fun. Like, this game does experiment a lot with certain things. Mm-hmm. I do think it falls into the problem that a lot of games are having today where they really do a slow introduction into things.
True.
So, like, you don't get your first gun until like 20 minutes into the tutorial. And I'm like, this is a shooter game. What the fuck are we doing?
But I
think that's just the nature of games right now where they're doing this like slow crawl because tutorials back in the day were outside the story. And then someone decided like, oh, a tutorial should be inside the story no matter what. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't give a fuck about that. Just give me a tutorial and then let me play the fucking game. But yeah, this is a slow crawl tutorial first mission. And the tutorial mission is literally an hour and a half long. And it makes no sense to me why it's an hour and a half long for a tutorial mission. But you know, that was the one thing that was a little frustrating, but outside of that, it was really fun. The gun mechanics are really cool. Movement's a little slow, but it's kind of explained by the fact that they're like bigger people wearing bigger armor. Like for the most part, I'd give this, if I had to rate it on, out of 1 out of 5, I'd give it a 3 just because it's a fucking tutorial mission for the first 2 hours.
That's fair. I think besides that fact that it is a little slow at the beginning, I do think this does... game has a great introduction. The first few hours are just a lot of mindless fun. The horde enemy things coming at you, the first few times it comes at you is so interesting, and you don't get that
very
in a ton
World
of video
War
games.
Z. If you guys haven't played World War Z, like that's just the way the fucking zombies work.
Yeah. And these enemies are really fun and unique, and some of the levels, especially like some of like the creepier levels, like in the dark with like that kind of flood style enemy, be very fun. I do think this game really does pass that first few hours, and I think after those first few hours is when the game starts getting into that repetitive nature.
I think you're full of shit.
Fine. Fuck you too.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was the first few hours. What's our next? Steve Achieves.
What? So everything for this game. This game is about 9.5 hours long for anyone who wants to know that. And about 70 hours to 100% complete the game.
That was one of the... So when I saw that, I was like, what in the actual fuck?
Yes.
Because normally it's like you take the amount of time it takes to complete without doing everything and you multiply it by like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And this, you almost go a full 10 times the amount of time. I'm like, how is that fucking possible?
Because most of the shit is in the multiplayer. It's in the missions, the PvP, the PvE.
I just think it's
fun. Yeah,
I just think it's funny that they did that, because that's a really it's a strange thing when most games are not like that.
Scott and I were talking about this before. We can talk about this a little bit now, but we were talking about how this game really is probably meant for multiplayer.
When we do our review of this, just know that we're doing it based off the single player only. We think this game would be way more fun as a multiplayer only game.
Yes. Whether you're playing the story with your friends or the missions with your friends or whatever you're doing, like everyone I've heard talk about this game, when they talk about it in the multiplayer aspect of the game, so the multiplayer is where this game is its true bread and butter, is where this game lies, that it's where everything is the best, and we didn't get to experience that.
You know what's funny is this feels like it should have been a live service game.
Yes, but I'm glad it's not at the same time.
I'm glad it's not, because I think they fuck up live service games real easy. Mm-hmm. But it does feel like it should have been Destiny-esque, you know?
I mean, that's fair. And I can see how that could be like almost really easy, especially with the world and the lore of...
Yeah, for sure. But it's just, if they did it, I do feel like they'd fuck it up, though. So because live service is hard to achieve. Right.
Oh, live services are insanely hard, especially just keeping the attention of anyone nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
Destiny did it well. GTA clearly does it well, but everyone else is kind of like out there.
But yes, some of the favorite achievements for this game, I will get into that now, is one of my favorite titles is The Art of Dismemberment.
Ah.
And it's for performing 40 unique finishers. Or sorry, 50 unique finishers. Yeah, apparently.
Sorry, 2,500 unique finishers.
I'm sorry. Ooh, there's 2 unique finishers in the game. No. 50.
I have 50 coins and 50 coins. And we take that and analyze it in my computer with science.
Yeah.
We'd have to take 50 coins. And then 50 more coins. 50.
You guys have never seen The Bad Man?
Yes.
Shit. Please.
It's
watch
on.
It.
It's College Humor videos.
Old school College Humor.
Dude, it's a comedian that I've watched a lot, and I didn't realize it was him too. I forgot his name.
He's kind of funny. He tried his own show for a little while, and it was.
He's pretty funny. I like his stand up at least.
Yeah, I haven't seen a stand up. I've only seen his live or College Humor shit, and then his own show shit.
All right. Next on to the achievements, though. There's still a true son of the emperor, and that's for. Okay. Killing 41,000 enemies in total, whether it's the story or the multiplayer or anything.
So it does feel like they just stole everything from their zombie game, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because like that's the number one achievement in most zombie games is killing 54,000 or whatever from... Because I think that's from Dead Rising. Oh, not Dead Rising.
Dead Rising was like 189,000 or something like that.
No,
the amount of zombies in the game.
It was 54 something.
Or, yeah, it rose every game.
Yeah, so each one in the series rose that number.
That is from a movie, I believe. I'm trying to remember Day of the Dead or like Dawn of the Dead. Okay. I can't remember which one, but that number is from a movie, and then every zombie game since has done it as their.
Oh, okay.
So, that, like, I get it. It's not exactly the same, but I do feel like World War Z heavily influenced the gameplay of this game. So.
I mean, fair.
Yeah. The only difference is clearly the melee kind of takes more precedence in this than it would in World War Z.
True. You do have to play every mode, and lots of the secret achievements and stuff are in the operations mode. I will say that. Only one difficulty achievement for playing, and it's only for playing one level or mission on the Ruthless difficulty. So it's one of those games that is a little nicer for the achievements as far as difficulty goes, which is always good.
Yeah.
And then one of the last ones is Defender of Humanity, and it's just for getting all the achievements. So that's your Platinum Trophy.
God damn.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't feel like a lot of games do that anymore, and I'm happy that they don't, because it's just like a default achievement for doing everything else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, which, I mean, I like getting the Platinum Trophy. I don't necessarily need it to be a trophy that you get in the game. Like, just you get it for just completing the game. Like,
like you already see it because then you look at someone's profile and you're like, oh fuck, you're a fucking nerd.
Oh shit, yeah, you consumed that game. You ate it all. Wow, that's a lot. You put way too many hours into that shit, especially with some of these games. Like, if you see someone platinum, like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, you're like, you put 350 fucking hours. That shit.
Yep. I've been doing the Kingdom Hearts,
I know. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with
Kingdom Hearts 2? I'm still not done with it. I have to take like short breaks of doing it because I've critical mode's hard. And it's not just that. It's like Kingdom Hearts 2 especially is just a rough game because to do all the achievements takes fucking forever.
Yeah.
But I am on that track of doing all the achievements currently. And I think I've already put 50 or 60 hours and I'm not even halfway through the game.
You're fucking ridiculous in my eyes, dude. I would never attempt that in those game series.
I think I'm level 70 in the game already and I haven't even got through halfway through. I've just been like farming. I've just done. Yeah. And I have to still make there's like a little recipe system. You have to find every recipe and then make every recipe, and it's really hard to farm. Like, you could farm for 5 hours for two things that you need.
Oh geez,
it's crazy. It is literally crazy.
You are dedicated.
Yeah,
you are dedicated.
I didn't mention this earlier, I have been playing State of Decay 2 again, and Jesus, oh, nice. That game is so much fun. God, it's so
I have been
fun.
Debating getting into it, so
you would love it. It is so much fun.
Well, I'm going to get some more free time on my hands in the next couple of weeks. So
Yeah. He's going to have his penis chopped off, so he's going to spend less time jerking it.
I don't even think if I cut my penis off, I would even save that many hours in a day. It's not like I'm on it that much.
Yeah, I know. You're not honest with yourself. We know. Okay.
Wow, apparently people are getting this really fun story about my life. Don't take
hours, guys. Hours.
Hours. Apparently.
All right, on to our next, I think we're on the hidden things.
The hunt for the eggs.
Yeah, what do we got? I was actually curious, outside of Warhammer shit, what eggs would be in here, you know?
Warhammer shit.
Yeah, see, and that's what I thought they would do. They just throw a bunch of like, well, let's put this in for the real fans, you know, which is fine.
So I'm not going to lie. I don't know Warhammer at all. I had to look up a bunch of shit on Reddit. This is a bunch of shit from Reddit posts. This is a bunch of shit from Scream Rant, especially as well. So this is a bunch of things that I've heard are in the game.
Just a bunch of people going, oh my God, it's so cool. They put this figurine in there.
Oh, some people are like, here's a list of 50 things from the other games in the series. And I'm like, ah, Jesus. Which I have heard too. This game is okay to play by itself, but you will get a lot more to the story if you've played or at least watched a recap of at least the first game. You don't need a whole franchise, but the first game recap would be very helpful.
Yeah, so the game follows the main character from the first to the second. I just kind of thought that it would be two different main characters because they're 400 years apart, but apparently it's the same fucking one.
Apparently not. All right, so we got the Primus Captain Acheron or whatever the name was.
Acheron, I think.
Acheron. That Titus and his squad report to throughout the game is a one-to-one replica of the tabletop Captain and Phobos armor model.
Okay, that's stupid, but continue.
I thought it was at least exciting.
I can't believe it. Oh my God, I'm perplexed.
This series is always extremely true to its source material. Them taking the actual model of the replica for the tabletop game and making it an actual character in the game is pretty crazy.
In one of the videos I watched, I think they said, if I remember right, that they had thousands of books to choose from, but they wouldn't they would not read them all.
I wouldn't read them all either.
Yes, I don't know where they got most of their inspiration, but they're like, literally, we could have chosen any one of thousands of books.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, I don't expect people from Marvel, if they're doing making a Spider-Man movie, to read all of Spider-Man from the 1960s to today, because there's too much terrible. And there's too many different iterations.
And a lot of it's just bad. Like, that's a thing. Yes. Honestly, but I mean, a lot of the old comics are just awful.
Read the first 50 issues or 100 issues of the original series. Find one of the favorite stories or a couple of the favorite what if stories and read those. Get at least the essence of who the character is.
Get the essence.
Instead of watching.
Limit.
Why are we always doing push it to the limit?
I don't know. I just,
you're just the Corbin fan over there.
We could do the other push it to the limit.
I don't know.
Walk along the razor's edge. That's not, I don't remember what song. What movie that's from. Oh, that's from Scarface.
Oh, I think yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Scarface song, I believe.
Okay. All right.
We'll start doing that push it instead of the other one.
Or we could do Salt and Pepper.
No.
Push it real good.
I love their little see, that's a cool. I don't think they realize how cool that fucking.
It's so good.
That is actually I don't know who wrote that, but they did a fucking phenomenal.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah. All right. Titus and the other Space Marines have voice lines about their past battles. And in one instance between the squad, one of them jokes, "I've had more civilized conversations with orcs." The line is a nod to the enemies of the previous game, even to make jokes about the rules and bullets from the tabletop game. So yeah, there's even jokes and stuff where they're actually talking about the rules from the game itself. I'm like, what the hell? You guys get full meta with it too.
yeah. Super meta.
And it blows right over your head.
Yeah, if you've never done anything.
Yep.
But if you're probably like, oh my God, that was the best thing I ever heard. I just picture them all fat and sweaty for some reason. I know that none of them look like that.
You almost sounded like the, they took her germs guy from South Park. All right. In a later mission, you will come across rows of statues depicting Mark III armor from the 31st millennium during the era of the Great Crusade.
Okay. What is that? Is that important?
Hey, I did the research for the other fellow nerds who might appreciate it, even though we have no clue what the fuck we're talking about.
Right, well, the Great Crusade, guys, that's exciting. Keep going.
Yeah, so excited for you guys. I'm so happy. If I knew what it was, I'm sure I would blow my load a little bit. It's probably like seeing a Mark II armor or something.
What about the Last Crusade? Did they meet Indiana Jones?
Yes, and his father actually came along.
Good,
so
good. Was that Sean Connery? I think it was Sean Connery.
During the second mission, straight after the first group of enemies, you can go to the left and follow a path to the pond to get to an Empire Strikes Back Easter egg, actually. And it looks just like Luke's ship sinking in the swamps of Dagobah.
Oh, that's cool.
It actually, it's kind of foggy and you kind of have to, get the camera a little bit out there a little bit. But someone took a screenshot of it and put it on Reddit. It's actually pretty dang spot on for that, and it's definitely an homage to it.
There was
the little droid.
R2-D2's little extendo thing.
Satellite thing.
I guess you call it, was it a satellite thing?
Yeah, it was a little satellite.
Okay, yeah, so the little satellite thing, if they had that just poking out of the wall, that would have been funny.
That would be fun. Another thing in here, every weapon used by the Tyranids is part of a living organism. The guns frequently used by range Terramigents, or whatever they're fucking called, sentient creatures called flesh borrowers, most easily recognized with their large protruding eyes on either side of the weapon. These living traits are more than just for show, as the organic weapons don't shoot traditional bullets, but recently hatched bugs that eat away at the player's armor. So there's
so much lore to the actual weapons itself. And if you look closely at the weapon designs of the enemies, you can actually see the eyes on the weapons, like on the side of the weapon. It's really creepy. It's really cool. Really grotesque looking, but it's a very interesting thing. And it's something I didn't catch when I played the game, but hearing these details and what this weapon does and what these bullets do is like, what the fuck? Levels are crazy. Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know. So with this immersive amount of information, again, you're going to get people like us who have no fucking idea where it's coming from, but the people who know probably love it to death.
Oh yes. This is, like, this franchise is for diehards of this franchise. And I love that they're trying to get a lot more people into the franchise, especially recently with games like this. They had an episode on Secret Level, that new series on Amazon, that they did a bunch of video game one-shot episodes, which the episode for Warhammer was fucking wild.
It's so good, dude.
That's like crazy. The lore of this, I'm getting more and more intrigued by it every time I like dive into something like this. But I'm like, holy shit!
You know, during the videos I watched, they explain like the cadence of the Space Marines and how important they are.
Yeah,
like literally, people see them as angels.
Yeah,
they're literally God's angels sent to defend humanity. That's how. And with a name like Space Marine, you're like, oh yeah, whatever. They're just fucking Marines. Literally, you play the game and people are like bowing to you and everything. Like, it is crazy how deep this lore really goes.
And if you're on the Death Squad, which is a big thing in the game series or something too, I think that's what it's called. Like, you are seen as like the most honorable and most highest.
I thought the Death Squad, was that the first squad he was on?
Yeah, like, I don't, it's like weird.
I thought it was
like
a dishonor squad because you're dishonored.
I don't know.
So
it feels like it's both. Like, that's what I was confused by.
I was so confused because I'm like, what did I do to fuck up that I got on this squad?
Because everyone's like, oh my God, that's amazing that you did the things that you did in the Death Squad. But then also everyone's like, don't tell anyone you're in the Death Squad. Because it's bad. So I'm like, is it a bad thing or a good thing? Or is it because,
well, you know,
I'm jumping down? Like, is it down a step from where I'm at? And people will pity it because they're like, why would you leave the Death Squad to come just to work with us? Because you should be a Death Squad person. Or is it because it's bad? Like,
It sounds like you have to make a mistake to get on it. And
that's what I was wondering.
Your punishment is likely to go on suicide missions. And then if you survive, that's when you're cool.
Well, and that's what I was thinking too, because that's kind of the vibe he gets too, is that like he's just one of the most badass heroes of all time, even though he's this person that people look down on.
Yeah. Well, the Death Squad's bad. Okay.
Death Squad's bad.
Okay. The Death Squad's bad.
That's what I had for Easter eggs. I didn't want to get too far into it. I didn't want to go too crazy.
We don't know any of these fucking
exactly. I thought those stories were fun. I thought they were cool. I thought they were interesting to me.
Yeah. I like it. That's cool. All right. Well, let's jump right into our ratings. What are you going to give this one?
So for me, I'm like teetering hard on 3 or 4, probably leaning more towards a 3.
Yeah, I already know what I'm giving, so I'm not teetering at all.
I'll probably go 3. I do think this game is incredibly fun if you're looking just for a kind of mindless run and gun shooter and wanting to feel like a tank, and you want kind of that old school video game vibe. Like, this is perfect for that in itself. I don't know if I have like the friend group or the people or the time that I want to dedicate to getting really into the lore, getting into the operations of the missions to really appreciate this game. I think if I did that, it would probably push it more towards a 4. But for me, especially just single player experience alone, I think I'm going to go 3.
Yeah, you know, I didn't have any trouble deciding that. I think this game is perfectly average for the single player mode. And again, guys, this is us saying this. We both think that if we would have played this as a multiplayer game with more people playing with us and just having fun with it, it probably would end up being a 4. But to me, it's perfectly average at like a 2 or a 3. I think a 3 fits it best because it's, you know, it's good for what it is. There's nothing that it needs, really. There's nothing that it lacks. It just, there's a few things that I'd like to get fixed on it that are more like cosmetically or aesthetically pleasing things. Like, what's the term everyone uses? Something of life. quality of life or whatever.
Quality of life, yeah.
Quality of life updates.
Yeah.
And that's about it. So a 3 really fits for me. Like, it's very average. It's fun, but you will get bored. Like, that's the thing about this. You absolutely will get bored after maybe a couple hours because it does not change too much in a couple hours.
Yes. And I have heard that the missions are at least like way more varied. And like I said, you get the 5 different loadouts, which I heard those feel all different. They all have their own special abilities and their own special attacks. So, like,
see, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
That sounds really fucking cool.
When I was researching all the stuff for what the rest of the multiplayer was and that stuff, I was like, well, that's not. Why didn't they just do that in the story? Why couldn't they pick between 5 loadouts in the story?
I don't know. Why the fuck do they have hold buttons for shit? Okay, Steven, we don't know.
Because I'm like, that does sound really cool. And it made me almost want to go at least try out some of the missions. Maybe even if it's just the PvE missions. But
maybe at some point we do one together and see how fun it is. And we come back and we give it like a separate rating based on the multiplayer.
We'll do it. But we'll give this a 3 asterisks.
Yeah, 3 asterisks based on the single player, guys. Yes. So I think the multiplayer is way better. It sounds way better.
Yes.
So
let us know if you agree, though. If you play the multiplayer and think that's the best part, tell us.
I'm actually curious about whether the multiplayer is worth it or not. So
please let us know.
soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com, guys. Shoot us an email.
Find us on TikTok or anywhere else you want to get your social media or podcasting. Yeah.
Well, that was it for this episode. For our next episode, it might come out next week. It might be a couple weeks, but it won't be a month, I don't think, because we're already working on it. Yes. It's going to be Disco Elysium.
Yes. That's going to be our next video game review.
Yep. We are excited to bring that one to you. So far, I've been playing it. It is extremely fun. That gives you a little sneak peek of where it's at, but who knows what happens in the future.
I haven't touched it yet, so let's go.
All right. All right, guys. We will catch you on the next one.
Love you.
Bye.